Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Happy New Year, people. It's January 2nd, 2013. Wow, that sounds weird. Episode 563 brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse world.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call it? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, happy hump day, everybody, and happy new year. Happy new year, Jamie.
Happy new year, Glenn. We haven't talked in forever, so I'm glad to be back here in a whole new year. It's very exciting.
I know we have a couple of weeks to catch up on, and I haven't really talked to you. I've been following your Facebook post, so I know that we do have some things to talk about, and we're going to have some time this morning to do that. You have new additions. You've been doing some nesting. We got all kinds of things to talk about.
Nesting, yes, that's true. I have definitely been doing nesting, but it becomes a little more real when. You want to hear like really what happened yesterday? I told you before the show I did a jump school with my horse Jet, and we did some gymnastics, and it was really fun. But I left out a little piece of the story that really, really makes it real as far as being pregnant. Do you want to know what that was?
Let me think. Your saddle was too small?
No.
Oh. The belly got in the way somehow, right?
Well, that's sort of it. Let me be honest with you. I walked, I trotted, I picked up the canter, and I peed a little bit.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God! Who knew that would happen? Seriously? I'm 35 years old.
Adult diapers for you when you're riding.
Seriously, I had no clue that, like, the pressure just when you canter, like, shoves your baby down and it just makes things happen. And I just was not expecting it. And I was like, Chad, can you hold the horse? You got to go to the bathroom.
What is your doctor going to say? What are you going to lie to your doctor when he says, no, you haven't been riding, right?
First of all, my doctor is definitely a she. Any type of assistance down there isn't going to be a woman.
Okay. All right. She's still going to say the same thing. He or she, same thing.
Oh, they will. They will not ask, because why would they ask? Because they don't just ask random people coming into their thing. Hey, do you ride horses? Now, we've discussed this, and they told me not to. So therefore, that's I'm sure what I'm going to do.
Well, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's first of the new year, Back on Track Wednesday edition, Ariane Stiegler is hoping that 2013 will be a banner year for amateur riders thanks to the formation of the Amateur Rider Association of America, which is a group of hunter-jumper competitors out to make competing a little bit less confusing. And who among us couldn't use a little less confusion? Have you looked at the entry form for a jumper show recently? Oh, my gosh. And the crabby list survived the Mayan end of the world and the fiscal cliff and the most recent Windows updates, and thus we'll be providing 2013's opening laugh track. Stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. We also have Frankie Lovato coming on a little bit later. He has a new project that he started for the new year, a very ambitious one, and we're going to share a little bit about that with you. I think we'll all learn something from it. But we haven't given up on the Daily Whinny in 2013, so here we go. So the Daily Whinny is, mine goes out today to a listener who wrote in while we were on vacation. Jeff Bloomberg wrote and said, one of the best things I had happened to me this last year was finding your shows. Your network hosts have made me laugh so hard my stomach hurt. Thank you so much for putting together such a great network. I truly wish you all great blessing and success for 2013. Well, thank you, Jeff. We appreciate you and all the listeners. And, you know, if you want to send us lovely little notes like that, we'll take them anytime. Glenn@horseradionetwork.com or Jamie@horseradionetwork.com. Your turn. Maybe.
You know, honestly, if you're going to send me an email at jamie@horseradionetwork.com, it better be nice. Come on, people.
She doesn't do well with negative.
I don't do well with the negative, especially now. I'm a little hypersensitive. Everybody, you're going to email me something, it better be nice.
Send me the bad ones.
Send him the bad ones. He knows to edit them. It used to be backwards, too. It used to be you couldn't take it and give it to me. Now it's totally reversed. I want nothing negative.
Well. The hormones are kicking in big time.
Way to pick me up, Glenn. Way to pick me up. So,
no problem.
My Daily Whinny goes out at really a yesterday's Daily Whinny. Happy birthday to every single one of the thoroughbreds. We had a little sort of birthday party. They all got stud muffins pretty much yesterday for their birthday. And so little Joe Montana, Fighter Jet, and then Edward, who's Soulful Air, they all got their birthdays yesterday. Sad to see them 1 year older, but, you know, excited to have them for another birthday.
And that's all thoroughbreds, right? They just all do it in the same day. It's easy that way.
Yes, they weren't all actually born that day. Let's be real here. But they do that for, you know, like you see 2-year-olds racing and 3-year-olds racing. It keeps it a lot easier for them organization-wise to say they're 2-year-olds this year. So you're not looking at it going, can I enter this 3-year-old race? Because my horse's birthday is April 2nd, and he's not born. The race is going to be on May something. So it just kind of takes all that clutter out of it. So, yes, every racehorse is born, that no matter when they're born, their birthday is January 1st. So it's just an easy way to remember a birthday, too. Man,
well,
I wish it was that easy
with
people.
There you go.
Yay!
You have to give them that. Hey, Tom Rittenhouse had a question about that, too, right?
Yeah, he wanted to know whether that works for all standardbreds, and are they treated the same way for standardbred racing? And I think that our expert, Jennifer, has the answer to that question.
The answer is yes. When they're registered with the American Trotting Association, which is the registry for standardbreds, it's January 1st, just like thoroughbreds.
What if they're pacers? Do they have an American Pacing Association? Do you have to separate them?
Yes, there is a certain double standard there. Yes, the American Trotting Association,
That's racism.
Too. Yeah.
Well, the name American Trotting and Pacing Association was too long, so
they
just sure.
They couldn't fit it on the banner. Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to all of them too. And I have a story later on about one of them, too, and you're going to be amazed at how long the Pacers can go keep on racing in this world. But first, we have a couple of things before we get to our first guest. The first I wanted to mention, some housekeeping stuff, is Tammy's auction is going on right now. This is Tammy Saranza, the Western host of the Western Radio Show. She is scheduled in the mid-January, I believe. I think it's like January 15th, to have surgery on her head. She was in a car accident.
It would be brain surgery, Glenn.
No, it isn't, actually. It's not. It's apparently the nerves around the skull, and it's all complicated. But because I made that mistake, I said brain surgery, but they're not actually going into the brain. They're going on the outside of the brain. Close enough. But she said that, boy, we've had a great – welcome back, everybody. We're talking about pee and brain surgery. great day back. But she's having to have this surgery and did not have insurance at the time this accident happened, her car accident last year, and has had these bad headaches and problems ever since. So the neurologists have said that they think this might help. This is sort of an experimental surgery, very, very expensive surgery. So she, we a bunch of her friends got together from all the different organizations she's involved with, including us. And she's putting on, we're putting on an auction to raise money for her medical bills. And you can find, it's not on eBay. It's being done on her website. It's called TamieSarance.com, S-R-O-N-C-E. And Jennifer will post a link to it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. But they have lots of good items. One of the items, tons of our sponsors here at the Horse Radio Network have donated stuff. Thank you to them for doing that. The thing that seems to be going the highest right now is, and we talked about this before, we talked about how much the Western people love their cowboy hats and how much they love to have custom hats made. Well, right now there's a $336 bid on J.W. Brooks custom hat. You can get your own custom hat made. And that seems to be the highest bid I see. There's all kinds of stuff on here. Jamie Branaman donated some things for the auction. We have lots of grooming stuff. We have saddle pads. Mayatex donated stuff. Another thing that's going pretty high, $205 for straight time stirrups. They're custom engraved stirrups. And I don't know anything about the Western side, not much, but apparently these stirrups are the thing to have, and they're very expensive. So there must be three dozen items that are listed here. So we just encourage you to go over and see if there's anything that you would like to buy, put your bid in, and help Tammy out a bit. We appreciate any help that you can give her.
I would like the Riders for Helmet saddle pad. I would like the book signed by the one and only Monty Roberts, From My Hands to Yours. I'm currently looking at this. Is Christmas money. Christmas money. Ooh, that
there you go. And it's
horses.
Going to a terrific horses. Cause, too. Yeah, it's going to a great cause. And, you know, there's a bunch of items, and apparently they're adding new items all the time, so you can keep on checking over there. Next thing is Really Bad Ads is coming back on Friday. I will have you know, Jamie, and I didn't even tell you this yet, but that we did the Really Bad Ads Best Of on Monday show, where we had an hour and a half of just really bad ads from our last year that Jennifer put together for us. Thank you, Jennifer. And we had the highest numbers we've ever had for that show. We doubled our live listener numbers, and we doubled our daily listener numbers for that particular show. So obviously Really Bad Ads is popular. It'll be back live here on Friday. Submit your ads. Jennifer has been getting some, but we need some more. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and we'll announce tomorrow what the prize is. We'll have something good for you. But get your ads in right now. Get on Craigslist and look for those Really Bad Ads. It's not hard. This is the easiest homework assignment you're going to have all week. Very
it's
easy.
Fun, too, except for don't actually feel sorry for the horses and go look at them to buy.
There you go. You didn't adopt another horse over the weekend, did you?
I did not adopt another horse, but okay. I did adopt another dog.
We're going to find out about that. I wanted to ask you about that, too, because you didn't adopt just any dog. You adopted a very senior dog.
I did. Oh, she's such a joy. I can't wait to tell you about her.
All right, well, we'll get to that after our guest here. We have Ariane Stiegler coming on. She is president of the Amateur Rider Association of America. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning to you. Happy New Year.
Well, thank you so much for joining us already on this new year, and congratulations on forming something that sounds like it's going to be terrific for all the amateur riders out there in the hunter-jumper ring. Tell us a little bit about the association and why you did it.
Well, I did it because I think it was time somebody gave the amateurs a voice in the sport. There's a lot of amateurs in the hunter ring and in the jumper ring. And after showing for many years, over 20 years, I just decided with a bunch of other amateurs that we should form an association.
Now, tell us, we get confused about this because every discipline seems to be a little bit different. What constitutes an amateur? When do you go from being an amateur to a professional? What has to happen?
Well, this is one of the issues that we have that's very tricky. The definition is a little, you know, shady. Basically, as an amateur, you are not supposed to make any, you know, sort of money, give lessons or any of that. You're a true amateur. Most amateurs do have, you know, jobs, families, and they ride either on the weekend or a few times a week. But they don't do that as a profession. That is not their source of income.
Yeah, but I mean, almost everybody I know that rides and does this, you know, rides at any time, ends up doing lessons for people, or they have a boarding stable, but yet they still have other jobs. Are they amateurs or are they professionals?
Well, like I said, it is very tricky. You know, the rules, I don't define the rule that USGF does. And it depends, again, on what level you do it. You know, most amateurs don't have a farm. They don't, you know, board horses. They have, you know, a place that they board at with professionals or around the corner from their house, and that's where they go. But they, you know, it is very, unfortunately, essentially, it is very expensive to, you know, to have a farm, to run it and all that. It's a very expensive sport, unfortunately.
Right, yeah, yeah. And that's true. That's true, whatever discipline you're in. So what do you hope to accomplish? Yes.
Yep.
What do you hope to accomplish with the association?
I just hope to give, like I said, the amateurs a voice. So I'm trying to regroup, which is an enormous job that I've undertaken, but we are, you know, many in the country, you know, across the Northeast. Obviously, I'm based in Connecticut, and I go down to Wellington in the, you know, in the winter months, but we're also talking to people in California and Chicago, everywhere, to try to make the sport more even, because somehow, at least in the jumper ring, I'm a jumper person, the heights, for example, this is one of the many issues, differ from one show to the other. And if, as an amateur, you try to qualify for indoors, some people jump, let's say, 4 foot in Chicago, and they'll jump 4'3", you know, at Hits and Saugerties or in Wellington for the exact same division. So we're trying to make it, you know, standardized. And now the other issue that we have is that not only is it in the levels or in feet or in inches and in levels, and nobody, you know, it's very hard for course designers and riders to understand, you know, what's a meter, what's an inch, what's a level, and to really, so there's been a few problems with that, and we're just trying to regulate it, that's what.
So will you guys work with the USEF? Are you hoping to have a voice? I know we work with the Professional Riders Organization over on the eventer side, and, you know, they comprise professionals and amateurs. And, you know, being a group, they do get more, they get heard more at the USEF and at the FEI level. Is that what you're hoping to accomplish here, is
yes,
be representative?
Yes, we are. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, it is a big undertaking. And because of timing, we started this, you know, a few months ago. It's taking a while, but right now, we are talking to the horse show in Wellington, and they've been very receptive and very nice to us. And that's where we're going to start and then go from there and hopefully really take off across the country. I mean, I'm talking to people in California. I'm talking to people in Chicago, everywhere. So the horse show management, so that we just want everybody to be on the same level. The horse show management, the USEF, the course designer are all on the same level. So we know where we're jumping, you know, in the honor ring too.
And I assume right now you're in the point, because you just started, that you're trying to recruit members, get as many amateurs involved, you know, in the association as possible. How does that work?
Yes, we are actually. Well, you know, thank God for the Internet. I mean, that's the one tool we have been using. I mean, we started this, you know, a few months ago just with the little Facebook page and trying to get the word out, you know, word of mouth. And we, you know, I haven't checked. I was out of the country. But, you know, we have over 70 or 100 members right now just through Facebook. I think in Wellington, as you well know, because you're based down in Florida, there's thousands of horses. And I think once we get down there and really reach, you know, all these people that come from all over the world, actually, but all over the U.S., you got the Canadians, you got the Californians in there, you got everybody. We'll start really regrouping people. We're going to have a panel. We're going to have the course designers, the horse show managements, everybody. And the professionals that, by the way, are approving our association, because it's going to make their jobs better. It's easier for a professional to go to Europe or, you know, in this country and find a jumper or 4 foot, you know, horse and not walk into the course, let's say the low amateurs, and the course are 4'3". That's a different horse. It's a total different story. So they support us. They really like what we're doing. So I think it's just a matter of getting everybody together. That's what we're trying to do. And we, like I said, we've spoken to the horse show management in Wellington, and they're totally receptive. The course designers, I had a great meeting with, you know, Anthony D'Ambrosio. He's in charge down there of, you know, organizing all the course designers. It's just a matter of getting everybody together on the same level and making the sport better for the amateurs.
And the USEF, have they chipped in about how they feel about it?
Well, you know what? That's a net enterprise. We will talk to them. It's just we are very recent, and I, you know, all the amateurs involved. We've been trying to, you know, kind of create a momentum here because, as you know, the amateurs represent an enormous group of people. So that's what we've been trying to do, get everybody involved and then present it, you know, to the USCF, to horse show management, to everybody in the country. So, yes, we will talk to them.
So my question is, what percentage of the entire sport is amateurs? Because to me it would seem like it would be a very big amount. You would have a lot of voice behind you.
It's a large amount. We basically sponsor, you know, the professionals. We have a lot of amateurs that even, you know, sponsor great horses to go to the Olympics. I mean, they, you know, and the amateurs have children that do the hunters. And there's a huge percentage of amateurs. That's why I think, you know, it's important to give these amateurs a voice.
Absolutely, I totally agree. So, what is your plan, kind of moving forward? What is your goal right now? What are you looking for?
Well, right now, like I said, because it was formed on the East Coast and that's where we're based out, we are trying to talk to the horse show in Wellington. You know, there's also the, you know, horse show in Ocala, but because we're most of us, the amateurs that formed this association, we are going to Wellington. We're trying to work with this horse show and set an example through Wellington for other shows in the country. And then after that, you know, we will expand to everywhere. I mean, anybody who would like to join our association is welcome, and I would love to get people in California to, you know, to work on that part of the country.
Well, this is a huge undertaking. Anytime you try and form an association like this, it's a lot of time and a lot of effort, so I congratulate you for putting forth the effort to do it. And we wish you luck, you know, as you get
Thank you. You
get more organized and, you know, get your membership online and all of that, let us know, and we'll chat again as you're going through the year, and we'll see how things are going for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's very nice of you. I think that will be nice. It is a big undertaking, but, you know, somebody had to start it. So at least we started it. Now it's just getting the, you know, the ball rolling. I think it's going to work for everybody.
Well, very good. And, you know, the other thing that comes up in situation, we always say where there's more than two people, there's politics. So I wish you luck in dealing with that, too, as you go down the line, because that's probably one of the hardest things you're going to have to deal with down the next 6 months to a year. But it sounds like you're ready and understand that. So.
Yeah. All the amateurs involved have been in the sport for a while, so I think we are aware. But like I said, again, I want to reinstate the horse show management and the professionals and the course designers have had, you know, tremendous response. So I think it's going to work. It might, you know, take a while, but I think we're all working for the same goal. So I think it should work. It should make the sport better for the amateurs.
Well, it's easier for them to deal with one organization than it is 10,000 individuals. So,
exactly.
You know, it is
exactly.
It is easier for them, too. So they see a benefit
exactly.
in it also. Yeah. Well,
exactly.
Good luck with this.
Thank you.
And by the way, we'll post a link. It's amateur-rider-association-of-america.org. Which is really long. We'll put a link to it on our Facebook page so people can find your website as well. All right. Thank you, Ariane.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
I know from a number of people who have started associations and organizations, Jamie, it is a huge undertaking. It's a big task.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's difficult.
It's like it is, and it gets to be, you know, in the beginning it's somewhat easier than later on as you go along. It's like wrangling cats in a lot of cases. So, and if they're anything like ours, it's, you know, it gets hard. So what is this about a new pet?
Oh, my gosh. You know, this whole, you know, I started that MASH Horses Facebook page. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, which we thought might be a problem because you have this propensity for just liking animals that are up for adoption.
Yes, I do. But I've been down there. I've seen all the horses. I'm pulling for them to get new homes. Actually, four, and I'm going to be updating the Facebook page shortly. Four of them have gotten new homes since Christmas. So we are down to, like, only about four left that are adoptable right now. I'm sure there'll plenty more will be coming in soon. But so I've been running this Facebook page. I've been handling it very well. And then I actually gave, you know, you could be administrators on a Facebook page. So I gave one of the officers an ability to be an administrator so she can go on there and answer people's questions and that kind of stuff. Well, she had their company Christmas party, like officers' Christmas party, which was actually at the MASH unit for dogs. That they have as well. They have a dog, cat, farm animal, horses. They have everything. Well, she was down at the dog facility, which is in downtown Phoenix, and was walking around, and this is one of the dogs that she confiscated, and she went in and just checked on her, and the dog's name is Spot, was Spot. And Spot had a horrible life where Spot was owned by what she called a tweaker. I didn't know what that was. I asked, it's a druggie, a crackhead, or meth head or whatever. I don't know anything about drugs, but owned by some druggie, and they had 18
By the way,
dogs.
I'm glad of that, Jamie, that you don't know anything about drugs. But
yeah, no kidding. I mean, I was like, what's a tweaker? She's like, druggie.
I have no idea either.
Me neither. So she said that this dog was owned, was with 18 dogs, and they were in a fenced-in area. There was no food. They were all emaciated, and they were eating dirt and rocks. That's all they had to eat. And it's amazing they didn't start eating each other, because apparently they were all bones when they were finally reported to the police. She confiscated all of them, and this dog named Spot, was the oldest dog out of all of them, and she's a female, probably Australian Shepherd mix, and the officer posted her on Facebook on our horse page and was like, hey, I just wanted to let you guys know, maybe for Christmas if somebody can give her a home. She's really old, and we don't want her to die at MASH, you know, because actually at the dog facility, it's, you know, granted they're getting food and everything, but it's not a very social place. They actually live in kennels where she's like, they can't even see other dogs. They can just hear them. So since February, this dog has been living in a run by herself, just getting fat and getting healthy. So at one point in her life, she has been run over by a car. She broke her hip and broke her jaw. And when the officers took her, she could hardly walk. Well, thank God for this organization. They actually do surgery. So she had hip and back surgery when she was confiscated, after she had gained enough weight to even survive anesthesia. She goes under, has the surgery. She can walk. She can run. She's, like, totally fine now because of the surgery. And nobody has adopted her since February. She has sat there and sat there and sat there. Because who's going to go in? Well, I got to take her to the vet. She's getting her some stitches out because some staples. I guess she got spayed as well, because she finally was ready to be spayed right before Christmas, and she still has her staples in from that. So I have to take her on Friday, but they said she's over 10 years old, between 10 and 12.
Okay.
And she has a gray face. Jennifer actually emailed you a picture if you want to post it online. So I went ahead and I couldn't sleep, Glenn. This is the pregnancy hormones. Is if something gets in your mind, you can't stand it. I dreamed about this. Like, they posted a picture of her, the senior dog that nobody wanted. She's going to die in the adoption facility because it's a no-kill animal shelter. So she's like, they'll live out the rest of her days, not being able to see another dog. And the officers tell me this story. I couldn't take it. I dreamed about her every night, and to the point where I couldn't sleep thinking about this dog. So I'm like, it's just probably 2 days before Christmas. I'm telling Chad, I'm like, we got to get this dog. Can I please have this dog? Can I please have this dog? No way. We do not need another dog. We are not going to have four dogs in this place. I'm like, honey, HOA rules allow us to have four dogs. I'm like, we're not going to get in trouble. He's like, we don't need four dogs. I can't believe you want to get another dog. No, 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 no. And so what I did was I took her picture and I put it as a screensaver for every photo, every computer we have. Every time you'd open
the
computer.
You're bad.
Oh, I'm bad. I am bad. To the point where I think I bothered him so much that it's Christmas Eve and I'm like, babe, come on. Seriously. Can I please have the dog? Can I please? He's like, you're not going to be okay, are you? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be okay. I can't stand it. I can't sleep thinking about this dog. He's like, Merry Christmas. So my husband is the coolest in the whole wide world. So I call her, and I'm like, I can get that dog! Well, of course, the adoption facility is closed. Of course, I would have driven there on Christmas morning and picked her up, but I had to wait till the 26th. And the officer actually delivered her, and she's a lot bigger than I thought, but she's a full-on Australian Shepherd, you know, old white face. She's so sweet. And let me tell you, immediately, she is next to us all the time, is so well-behaved, is potty-trained, sleeps in a... The first night, she slept in the closet because I don't think she'd been out of a cage for so long. The second night, she kind of slept in the corner next to the bed. Third night, she's got the biggest dog bed. She stole it from Brett. She's like, this is her space. It's her house. She kind of growls at the dogs when they want to come by her, and she's like, it's my bedroom. It's her whole bedroom is our bedroom. So she's a whole lot of fun. I ended up naming her Joy because she's just so happy all the time. She's so happy to be here. She's so appreciative. She wags her tail, but because of her little hip surgery or whatever, she can't actually wag her tail to the right. It only goes to the left. It's like, whack, left, 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 left. It's very cute and very funny.
And her chat warmed up to this now? I see you warmed up.
Oh, immediately. You cannot not love this dog. She is so darn sweet. She's in the room with me right now. It's totally quiet. We've heard her bark once. She's so, so sweet. I mean, she is so, so old, and she doesn't, you know, she's on pain meds. She's going to be on pain meds forever. She gets a little Tramadol every morning to keep her moving. But even because her jaw was broken, she has now an underbite. So she looks at you with her little bottom teeth sticking out. Oh, my God.
I saw that with the one picture. We had a little dog that had that, too, and everybody used to make fun of that little dog because of the underbite.
Little dogs, you can understand, but a big, giant Australian Shepherd with an underbite, you don't see that very often. It's so bizarre.
No.
But I couldn't take it. And you know, of course, Chad is such a softie, too. He's just like I am. And once they brought her, because I said, you know, I'm like, if it doesn't work out, we can find her a home or we can take her back, you know, ha-ha.
How soon after you have the baby do the hormones stop? Just checking for Chad's sake.
Glenn, did they ever stop before, really?
That's true. What a good guy you have. Now, that's four, so you're up to your home. You're up to your HMO limit there.
I cannot have any more dogs. And I think they only do that because they don't want puppy mills and stuff on these properties.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I we're good. I'm done. And like I told him, and now we've decided to do a dog of the month on the MASH page. I can't take it. And then I posted another dog, and he's like, oh, my God, that's the one I wanted. I should have got that one. There's a it's a lab Great Dane cross. And he's like, that's the dog. We should have got that one.
Let's review his good luck with dogs, though. So you have the quiet ones. You have the new one, Joy, and then you have Zenyatta, the quiet ones. And then the
and
one
Brett.
That people hear on the show, and Brett. And then the one people hear on the show all the time is his dog, Boomer.
Oh, out of control. Out of control. If I had a nickel for every time I've gone, Boomer, stop it! I'd be rich. I would be rich. So, yeah.
But he's not allowed to pick dogs anymore.
I think that's good. He does good picking the horses, but I think from now on, you're right. I think the dog should be picked by me.
Well, congratulations. And it's a good thing you did.
Oh, I should post a video of her because she gets so excited and she can't really run around, you know, but she jumps up and down, like her little front feet leave the ground like 3 inches when she's excited. She's like, up, 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 up. So I'll try to video it because it'll just make your day. She's just so old and so cute. And she's got like almost no teeth on one side of her mouth. And the officer that said that was from chewing the rocks. And I mean, you just can't help but love her. And she loves to come out and watch me ride. She lays in the arena on the side. She just stays out of the way. She's very good. So I think we did a good thing. And finally that night when he said I could have her, I slept for the first time in like 4 days.
Well, it's funny. Jennifer just posted on Facebook, and because of the problems we've had posting on Facebook about your baby before, this is what she wrote. She wrote, Jamie and Chad got a little Joy for the new year. No, not that Joy. That's coming later this year. Meet Joy, the most recent bundle from jail. So she has a picture of you and the overbite there.
Yes, that was our New Year's photo there. So, yeah, she's mostly deaf, mostly blind, but whatever.
Well, you've had those before. You've been down that road before.
Exactly.
You know how to handle that. Well, let's take a break for Back on Track products. We're going to come back. I have our crappy list, our first crappy list to start the new year, and we have some other things to talk about as well. One of them is that Janie's a painter. I didn't know she had any artistic, and I will say this for the listener's sake, it appears that she paints better than she sings. We'll be right back. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work. And what is the science behind them? Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury, as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries, is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. Hey, Jamie, before we get off the subject of puppies and doggies, I have one of these we haven't had in a while. We have a glory story. Yeah, we did the same thing you did this holiday. We stayed home for the holidays and sort of had a staycation here in Ocala. But we did do some day trips around the area. And one of the day trips we've been wanting, there's a dog beach at Daytona Beach where you can bring your dogs to the beach and they get to, you know, see the ocean and all that. Unfortunately, you can't let them off the leash. So it's not fenced in or anything. But we did bring Glory down, the first time that she has seen the ocean that we know about. And we thought, you know, she's scared of a lot of things. She's a greyhound, and she's scared of trees rustling, the wind in the leaves, which is great because we live under 1,000 live oak trees here. And then she's also scared of gunshots and noises like that, which we've had nothing but that for the last week. So we take her down to the beach, and we thought, well, she's probably going to be scared of that. She walked right up to the water, stuck her feet in, didn't have any problem with it at all. So she was a real trooper. I took a picture and posted it on our Facebook page of us by the waterside there. We had a great time down at Daytona Beach. We went to this terrific restaurant, and I'll have to post a picture of that, too, on our Horses in the Morning page. By the way, this is our first year also in Florida at the New Year's and the holidays when it's been 75 degrees out every day. So that's been and we right beside at the very bottom of Daytona Beach, there's an outlet where the Intercoastal Waterway, you can take your boats out into the ocean. There's a spot to do that there. And right at the end there was this dog beach. And then also is the lighthouse, and people who have been to Daytona Beach will know what I'm talking about. And right outside of there is this little restaurant. What's it called, Jennifer? Do you remember the name? She's on mute here. Let's take her off of mute. Hidden Treasure Slum Bar and Grill. And it was excellent, but when you eat on the deck, and we were out on the deck by the Intercoastal Waterway watching the boats go by, it's absolutely beautiful. Dolphins out there in the Intercoastal. They have this huge live oak tree that grows up out of the middle of the deck. They built the deck around it. Well, one of the branches goes almost horizontal, about 4 feet off the ground, and they have the tables behind it and around it and under it. So we were sitting behind the tree. Well, the waitresses have to crawl under the tree branch to get to you, carrying the stuff. I mean, they have to bend over, do like what's that called when you go under backwards, under a pole?
Limbo.
Yeah, they pretty much had to do the limbo to get to the table. It was an interesting place with terrific food, great food.
Now,
so,
was it only one or two tables on the other side of the tree branch, and they would cuss like, those of you who, like, had picked that table, or...
There was one table where the tree branch went right over the table. So people, if you sat on either side of the table, you had to, like, bend down to look at each other.
Oh, my God.
Right over the table. It was the coolest, quirkiest place that you expect to find at a beach. And it was, you know, it's one of those hidden, it is truly a hidden treasure. It was terrific. We'd go back there anytime. We absolutely had fun doing that. So that was our Glory story. She did great. She had a great time at the beach and enjoyed her ride. So
now, are you able to let her off the leash there or no?
No, it wasn't allowed, number one. And number two is she'd be gone. She is so fast that when when we take her and let her run in the paddock out here, you're talking 3 strides to 35 miles an hour, and you wouldn't catch her. I mean, she'd just be gone. So that's the problem with greyhounds. Unless they're very, very, very well trained, they will, if they see a squirrel or they see something running in the field, they're out of here. So you really aren't supposed to. Matter of fact, the agreement you sign when you adopt them is that you do not take them off the leash outside of a fenced-in area. You actually sign that. And she did get loose on the foster mommy that had her for 6 months before we got her. She got out the door. Somebody opened the door and she scooted out. It took 12 people 3 hours to find her and get her back. So yeah,
you know what the cowboys say. Old cowboys say, "Your dog runs away. That means it's looking for a new home." See you later.
Up the chase. I don't think
that's great.
Well, yeah. So, before we get to my New Year's resolutions for horses that I found online, I thought was kind of an interesting, fun list per the crappy list Wednesday. I wanted to say I saw pictures of you being real artistic, and you were honest. You've been very honest through this pregnancy with the listeners. You have said from day one when we made the announcement, and now you're almost 5 months in, we have said, from day one, or you have said that, you're kind of nervous about this. It's not something that you really were totally 100% into. And then I see the pictures from over the weekend of you painting the walls of a nursery.
I know. I did. We decided that we were going to start working on it because, again, it's going to happen whether we like it or not. There will be a baby. So I started painting it, and we started looking at Chad and I started looking at different designs online. And, they sell these really cool stickers that take up the whole walls, and you just stick them up there, and they had trees, and they had giraffes, and they had lions. Well, then I realized, I can paint a tree. What the heck? I remember, I have the skill, the artistic skill of a third grader. But again, how awesome does a tree have to be? Well, I actually talked myself into it, and then when we went to buy the paint, I came home, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. This is going to be awful. Because Chad's like, I like this tree. We're looking online at different trees, cartoon trees to paint on the wall, and he's like, I like this one, and it's something with like 10 billion leaves and
branches,
arc branches and all this. I'm like, I like this one, which is like a stick figure tree. So he's like, well, what about this? And I'm like, honey, no, I can't do that. So I thought no matter what I did, it was gonna disappoint him, because looking at some of these pictures were so cool. And so I kind of picked one in the middle that was a little bit easier and painted the tree. And I thought it came out pretty good. I'm actually not done. They have, in the picture, there's some swirls and all that kind of stuff. But I kind of like it the way it is. So maybe I'll paint some apples in it or something.
I like that. And I love how you went across the ceiling. You continued it across the ceiling. That was a good move.
Honest with you, it was only so I didn't have to tape the ceiling and not paint it.
Truth comes out. I really like the giraffe. Now, it was lacking a little muscle tone. It's a very smooth giraffe, is what I'm saying.
It lives in a nursery, Glenn. It doesn't have a whole lot of room to run around. Okay, so.
It was very
stall
good.
Rest.
Very good. It was you and your pajamas painting the giraffe.
Yeah, this is what I did on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. But painting the giraffe, when we looked at giraffes online and I Googled them, it's like, what about this one? And it was the spots fit together like puzzle pieces. And there's a really cool, if you just do cartoon giraffe and Google image it, you come up with some cool stuff. And then I saw this one and I was like, score! That's the one I'm painting. Minimal spots.
It was very good, very good. Do we have permission to post that when you are in your pajamas? So I have to ask you first.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's seen me in my pajamas feeding. Why not painting?
Okay. All right. Well, post the one, Jennifer. You can get it off of her page of her painting the giraffe. So that'll be a good one. That was good. I was impressed. I was more impressed about the nesting. And I noticed that I wasn't the only one. There were several comments about, holy cow, she's nesting now. Because this is the first sign of nesting that we've kind of seen.
You know what happens at a point in your life? I'll be honest with you. Chad and I we've lived very exciting lives. I have hosted New Year's events in front of thousands and thousands of people in Atlanta when I was doing radio. And, you know, Chad has traveled the world. He's rang in New Year's in Vegas and Dubai and all these very exotic countries, being in the Air Force. And New Year's came, we're like, we don't have anything to do. And I can't drink. So we're like, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? We're like, wow. At some point in your life, you're like, am I a loser now? Like, what happened to me? I used to do such cool things, and now I'm like, I think I'm going to paint a tree on a wall. That's what I did. Seriously. It was like, hey, here comes the countdown, because Chad was right behind me, and he was working on another project. He's installing a light fixture, a dimmer switch into the nursery. So I'm painting in the light, and then the dark, and then the light, and then the dark, and then the light. And it's like, oh, wait, babe, it's midnight. It's midnight. 10, 9, we kissed, and everything was great. But then we're like, holy cow, what happened to us?
Welcome to adulthood, Jamie. It just took you longer than other people.
Yeah, I know. Sad as heck, isn't it? Oh, it's awful. I sure enjoyed it, though.
It's time for a crappy list. I have a new crappy list for the new year, and this was put out by a guy named Dick in Williamsport, Maryland. It was posted on a blog somewhere I found. I was looking for New Year's resolutions for horses. Well, this is one that's written from the horse's point of view. I noticed that Horse Nation posted one, too, but I like this one better. So I thought it'd give us something to talk about, because anybody that's had any number of horses over their lifetime are going to relate to this and wish their horses had these resolutions. So here we go. These are New Year's resolutions for and by horses. All right. First one. I can walk and poop at the same time. I can. This is so funny because we were just talking about this yesterday. We have an equestrian neighborhood here, and we were driving out of the neighborhood yesterday, and I saw a pile of poop. Well, it was all spread out, and I said to Jennifer, I said, that's a driving horse. And she said, yep, you're right. She said, that had to be a driving horse because it's all spread out. I said, it certainly isn't your horse, because Beaker, the quarter horse, has this thing about stopping and pooping. He just can't seem to walk and poop at the same time. I don't know if yours is that way, but Beaker just is that way. And you can tell in the neighborhood on the poops on the road by whether they're driving horses or whether they're riding horses by how spread out it is.
Well, I think that's very funny because it is so true. All of my lesson horses, they will slam on the brakes and poop just to go. It's hilarious. However, I had a friend, and this is why it is always, always good to teach your horse to keep moving, because I had a girlfriend who, she always let her horse stop and poop, always let her horse stop and poop, and I'm like, that's going to bite you one day, I'm telling you. She finally does her first horse show ever, trots in to do her dressage test, halts at X, salutes, and he starts to poop. And she starts kicking and kicking and kicking. And she was very short and kind of thick, so, and rode a very tall horse. So all you saw were these legs out to the side, like banging against the side of this huge horse as hard as she could. And he just stood there, and he was not going to proceed working trot until he was done pooping. And I, as soon as she got out, I'm like, I told you, you should keep him going. Well, one giant pile of poop at X.
The next one applies to anybody that's been to a horse show, has seen this happen, and the horse's resolution is, I will not leave when my rider falls off. 90% of the horses I've ever seen at horse shows leave, and then you hear the echoing going across the horse show grounds of, loose horse! 90% of them leave. They just don't want to hang around because they know they're going to be
generous.
In trouble, number one. Not yet as generous. I have seen a couple that where they've fallen off and the horse just goes and eats, but that doesn't happen too often.
No, that's a naughty pony is what that is.
Yeah, because they know. They're like, what are you going to do about it? I don't care. I don't care what you do. You know, the others are concerned because they did a bad thing. The ponies are like, I don't care.
No, Dave, yeah. I've never seen a horse, like, none of my horses have ever been like, hey, are you okay? You fell off. You all right? Let's get you back up. No, they're all like, and they fart and they run off.
You can walk back. And it's usually when you're at the furthest from the barn on a trail ride when that happens too. It's at the point where you're just about to turn around where he spooks at the non-existent bear. That's when it happens. How about
when you fall off and you're in your arena and you fall off and you know they can't go anywhere and they just continue to run around the arena because you're like, I can't get out, but I'm not going to let you catch me.
My stall is not my litter box. When I have free access to my paddock, I will not go back inside to pee. How many horses do that? There are a ton. And we should add to that, and I will not pee in the stall immediately after it's cleaned before they even leave with the wheelbarrow. I can't tell you how many horses we've had that have done that. That used to make me mad as a horse husband. It's like, I just cleaned that.
Yeah, if you still have the wheelbarrow, don't be afraid to just stick it right underneath them and catch it. I do that.
That's funny. I don't know that we have had too many horses that would hung around if I had done that.
They're peeing. You don't have a choice.
I will not roll in streams or try to roll when my human is on my back. I just saw a video. One of the videos going around Facebook last week was of that exact same thing. They were on a trail ride going through a stream, and the horse just rolled, dumped the rider in the water, and just rolled. I've never had one do that. Have you ever had one do that?
You know, every rider has a nightmare story, or every non-horse person has ridden a horse and has a nightmare story. And I remember being at the Triangle X Ranch with my family when I was very young, and my brother was riding a horse. I still remember the horse's name. His name was Dusty. And my brother was like 8 years old, and we're out on a trail ride, and of course, they go to the creek. The horse starts pawing, and my brother's like, what do I do? Of course, the horse stops, drops, and rolls right into the sand and then flips him over into the water. I mean, it was one of those momentous. My brother, from that day forth, has never gotten on a horse ever again and still tells the story of the horse rolling in the creek.
When we went on that trail ride, I've told this story on the air. When we went on the trail ride in Pigeon Forge, you talk about non-horse people having stories. When we went on the trail ride in Pigeon Forge, we took last year, I had a great gated horse, and we 2 minutes after we get out there, a turkey flies down from a tree above his head and almost lands on his head. And that horse just did a little flinch, and that was it. I mean, there's a good horse when a turkey almost lands on its head. Not
that's
something
good.
Happens every day. this is what I'm going to alter a little bit for us, Jamie. This applies to you and I. I will not walk faster on the way home than I did on the way out unless my owner has to pee. See, that's how I altered that one because, you know, we've both been in situations. I've been in the cart and you've been on a horse where we want them to walk faster on the way home because we have to pee. The heck with the horse. So I altered that one a little bit.
I appreciate you altering that one, but I must tell you that I've altered it even more because when I was riding with Chad the other day, trail riding, I had to go. I just had to go.
You were
and I said,
desert.
Honey, I was in the middle of the desert. I'm like, hold my horse. I found a mesquite tree. I hop behind it. I don't care anymore.
It's when you get behind the cactuses that you have to be careful. You're fine with the mesquite.
Don't lean.
Tree. Yeah.
Don't
leave. I promise not to swish my tail while my human is cleaning my back feet. That's just one of those little annoying things that a lot of horses seem to get
fart.
Great pleasure. Yes, or poop.
Yeah.
Poop, yeah.
Or poop.
And you know they're doing it. You know they're laughing the whole time. You know they're just laughing. I promise not to choose that particular time to answer nature's call. That was related. I will not bite my farrier's butt just because it is there. Or your butt when they're cleaning, either one. I will not blow my nose on my human. Well, we had an audio of that here before Christmas, thanks to one of our listeners. I will not lay totally flat in my stall with my eyes glazed over and my legs straight out and pretend I can't hear my human frantically screaming, "Are you asleep?" And you learn very quickly the horses that do that, and you stop screaming. But how many times has it happened? Our listeners chimed in on this last year, where your horses are laying down in the field and people are knocking on your door thinking your horse is dead. Apparently, it happens a lot more often than we thought.
Well, it does. And I'll tell you, working at that vet clinic, the vet would always go, the intern vet, when we would drive by horses, be like, oh, that one's dead, sleeping, he's dead, joking around until the time where we actually got back to the clinic. And she's like, oh, there's a dead one. And it was dead. So,
oh, no.
I'd never say that anymore.
Oh, no, that's bad. All right, well, I have about five or six more that we'll do a little bit later. We have Frankie Lovato coming up here in just a minute about a terrific new project he's working on. We'll all learn a little something. But first, we have to hear from Equestrian Collections and also a song by Bren Hill, who we highlighted over the holidays. He has a song called Equine that we really liked. So we're going to be back in a few minutes here to finish up this list. Right after I find the sound file I need. See, I was out of practice at 10 days off. Hey, everybody. Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network. I am with Debbie over at Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. What do we have this week, Debbie?
Well, this week I want to talk about the Ovation Airform All-Purpose Click-It Girth, although it also comes
That's
in...
That's a big, long name.
Yeah, it also comes in dressage and other types as well.
Okay.
It's time to get in schooling. It's time to get back on the trail. And the thing about this girth that I find wonderful is that it has a spring load in the buckle so that it's so easy to adjust and so easy to adjust from the saddle, which oftentimes when you're on a trail ride, you're going to need to go ahead and adjust your girth halfway through, and this is so easy. All you do is reach down, and the little spring form thing puts the little click-it thing in the hole, and you don't have to get off, and you don't have to worry about it. It's synthetic. It's hypoallergenic. All you have to do is hose it down. It's inexpensive. It's a schooling girth, but it comes in a lot of sizes that the other girths don't come in, all the way up to a 50 and a 60.
Wow.
Which you don't find. And I highly recommend it. My horse loves it. I had a hard time finding a comfortable girth for him for trail riding. I put this on it, and it's made a huge difference.
You've had a couple of reviews, too, on your website. Holly says this girth is awesome. Tightening or loosening it from horseback is so easy. The price is great, too. Love it. This is around $40, people.
Mm-hmm, $39.95.
Yep, and that's the Ovation Airform All-Purpose Click-It Girth. And that is from EquestrianCollections.com. Just hop onto Equestrian Collections and type in Ovation Airform Girth, and you'll find it.
Stormy throws her head. She don't like the sound of lead ripping through the sky on a cool, clear autumn morn. She high trots back home. She can't stand to be alone. She's been that way since the day that she was born. But I love her anyway. I wouldn't trade a single day riding for another day to be alive. The wind in her long black mane, she's the only thing that keeps me sane. The only way today that a cowboy can survive. Equine. Mind all his own. Bud was hard as a stone. He threw me to the ground a dozen times or more. Running down the road, cussing cause I'd just been thrown. All the way back to the old brown double barn door. But I loved him anyway, and I wouldn't trade a single day riding for another day to be alive. The long ago made was the only thing that kept me sane. The only way today that a cowboy can survive. There's a fire burning in me still, and a cold hard iron will to get back on no matter how hard I fall. And I think of them days sometimes to ease my troubled mind every time my back's up against the wall. There's one tired old painting. A little less skin than king. I see the hesitation in his eyes. I lift a little saddle on. He kicks them in the sides and they're gone. Lord, I can't believe how the years roll by. And how I love that little boy, riding high like Gene and Roy. Fading like a hero into that western sun. The wind in his thick gold hair. I close my eyes for a moment, I'm there. The only way today that a cowboy can survive. Equine.
Equine. Well, that was Equine by Bren Hill. You can find all of his music at Bren, B-R-E-N-N, Hill.com. We highlighted him over the holidays. You can find his episode called The Music of Bren Hill. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. I am here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen, the whole gang back together again. We are brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Well, Jamie, we're waiting for Frankie Lovato to come on and tell us about his new project. But there were some racing stories, too, that we wanted to get to this morning. But Frankie, looks like Frankie's ready. So let's go to Frankie first. Frankie Lovato, of course, is our friend, been on the show many, 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 many times, helps us out around the Triple Crown time and other times of the year when racing is really popular. Well, he has his own radio show, Jockey World Radio, and he launched something that is quite ambitious and should help us all understand a little bit more. Well, good morning and Happy New Year, Frankie.
Good morning, Glenn, and Happy New Year to you all. Thank you.
Well, Frankie, you're being very ambitious with this one. When I saw you post this the other day, I said, oh, you're a glutton for punishment because it's just a lot of work. But tell us what you're doing. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, well, I made this commitment. It's kind of a challenge. But I don't know if you knew, but I wrote this racing terminology booklet a few years back and got it to print. And it's something, you know, when I go out on the circuit, when we go out with the Equisizer, and I often do a lot of local public speaking and stuff. But people are so fascinated by horse racing, even people that have been around horses their whole life. There's a whole new set of rules when it comes to terminology in horse racing. And so I'd written this terminology booklet. And to be honest, Glenn, I'm not doing a great job of getting it out there. we don't do enough shows. For whatever reason, it's just... I've got a bunch of books in print, and you know, they're very handy. And when people do see them and read them, they love them. And I just thought, you know, I got to find a way to get the word out, to help educate people more in horse racing, and to let people know what I'm doing with the Jockey World project. You mentioned Jockey World Radio, and this terminology booklet. So I thought, you know, it'd be really fun. It's a crazy idea, but. What if I was just to try to bring the terminology booklet to life and just go right down the line? There's about 450 terms in my booklet. But I thought, well, I'll make a challenge for 365 terms for each day of the year for 2013. And not only will it be helpful and educational for people, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be enjoyable. And I think it'll bring more awareness to our Jockey World projects within jockeyworld.org, my nonprofit organization. So I thought, well, the only way I can do this challenge is if I have help. And you met Kayla a couple of years back at the World Equestrian Games. Glenn, you remember?
Yes.
Well, she's my little helper. And she helps me with all my projects. She's graduated from high school now, and she's my assistant with Jockey World and Jockey World Radio. And well, anyway, long story short, I proposed this to her, and I said, Kayla, the only way I can do this is if you help me. And because, as you know, just putting together one video can be very time-consuming. And she lit up. She loved the idea. And from that point, I was committed. She said she's going to help me, though, so...
Well, let's take a listen. Jamie hasn't heard this yet, so let's take a listen to the first one. I hope I have it all here. Let's take a listen to the audio from the first one. There's a video that actually goes along with this, but the audio is pretty self-explanatory, too. And then we'll hear what it's all about, and we'll come back to you. So hold on one second.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jockey World Radio's Britlin Wall, and welcome to Frankie Lovato's 365-Day Racing Terminology Challenge. With this challenge, we aim to bring racing terms to life for you, the fans, every day of 2013. This is in support of Jockey World's mission to improve, promote, and provide more education, health,
great
and
radio
safety in the world of horse racing.
Yeah.
This clip, we would like to thank thedailyracingbunnies.com for their support.
This is Frankie Lovato, and today's term is one of 365, Ace Deuce. Also known as AC Deucey, is when a rider or jockey rides with one stirrup set slightly lower than the other to help with their balance. When riding very short in the stirrups, riders become very top-heavy and have less leg on the horse, therefore very easy to lose their balance if something was to go wrong. Riding Ace Deucey may help them. The concept with one stirrup longer than the other would be similar to standing on the ground with your feet apart and one foot set slightly forward, rather than your feet close together and even. If your feet are close together and even, you could easily be knocked off balance. Riding with one stirrup lower naturally places that foot forward. And for all you beginners out there who want to become jockeys, please know riding short in the stirrups is very dangerous and takes time to achieve the strength and balance needed to do so. Also, for jockeys in North America, where all racing turns to the left counterclockwise, when riding with a left stirrup slightly lower than the right helps your rider feel more centered around the turn. Riding Ace Deuce would not be necessary when riding long in the stirrups, as riding long in the stirrups, you are much better able to balance, have more leg on the horse. Also, Ace Deuce is not for everyone.
Well, that, you know, that's terrific, and I didn't know that. Jamie, did you know what Ace Deuce was?
I don't know where Jamie went.
Oh, we lost Jamie. I don't know. But I didn't know what that was, and normally that's a bad thing when you...
Hold on, I'm here, you guys. Yeah, I've never heard of that. How many jockeys actually ride like that?
Well, in North America, almost everyone.
Really?
Pretty common term, pretty common thing with horse racing. Now, when you get into other countries where they turn to the right, some countries they race in both directions. And in fact, you go to a place like Japan, they might race to the left in the one race, and then the very next race they might race to the right. So. But here in North America, we always turn to the left. So it gives that, it kind of opened the door for that opportunity to help riders with their balance when they're riding so short in the stirrups.
So do you lengthen the stirrup on the outside, the right?
No, it would be the inside, the closest to the inside rail. So, because you're turning, here we turn to the left. And,
yes.
And your body is the centrifugal force is pushing your butt out to the right anyway. When you're hitting those turns. And then also when horses, you know, I didn't get too technical because it would have been just too long of a process to make the first video. But when horses are in their right leads as well, in the straights, they seem to, it shifts. If you were to watch a jockey, now you'll love this, Jamie, but if you were to watch a jockey from behind as they're going down the stretch, you'll actually see their butt kind of being thrown to the right because the horses are generally in their right lead down the straights.
Uh-huh.
And also that will help when you ride a little bit shorter on the right, keep you centered. And you could ride.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know if you put your outside stirrup like so you could brace against it, or so you put your inside stirrup a little longer so you can kind of lean into that stirrup to balance, counterbalance the thrust to the outside. Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And this
and I had heard. I had heard the term AC-DC before, and I never knew what that was for. You know, people, I've heard it used, I can't remember what context now, but you do hear that as a kind of a, yeah, kind of a slang thing. But, yeah. Huh. And so what's the, so the second one, you actually have the second one out, and that one is titled Aces, so people are going to have to go listen to it. Where can they listen to it?
Well, we're spreading it all over our social media, throughout Facebook and Twitter, and, both Twitter, well, we're at Jockey World on Twitter. We're at Equisizer on, for that Twitter feed. But also Frankie Lovato Facebook page, Frank Lovato Jr. Facebook page, Jockey World and Jockey World Radio Facebook page, and our groups, Jockey World. But the direct for YouTube, is these are all posted on YouTube, would be youtube.com/Frankie Lovato Jr. Junior just with JR. So,
well, I think it's great. Obviously, we learned something with the first one. I think it's a terrific. And you're right about racing. You know, unless you're one of those avid racing haters, you know, for whatever reason. all of us horse people are, you know, we may not follow it. We may not watch racing every day. But when you go to, especially around here in Ocala, we've noticed, when you go to a restaurant, they'll have TVG on or HRTV. You'll find yourself watching racing, or you'll go to the races every once in a while, or we adopt our ex-racehorses. We all have a fascination with it, but don't spend much time learning about it.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what, the truth is, I think people would enjoy racing so much more if they if some of these terms wouldn't just go right over their head. I know that when you're watching races like the Kentucky Derby, for example, you're watching these wonderful broadcasts and with these racing commentators, and there's so many words. I could watch a broadcast, and I could have someone, let's say you, Glenn, standing beside me, and if we had the pause button, you would probably pause it 50 times saying, what do they mean by that?
Right.
And so, I mean, it would be so much more enjoyable if you understood some of these things that are just understood just within horse racing, but there's so many other fans out there that would have much more appreciation for it if they knew. And that was the concept of the terminology book itself. It's actually pocket size. It fits in your pocket. It's something you could take to the races, and if there's something you didn't understand, you should be able to find it. So that was the concept behind the actual booklet. I took it to a whole new level with this.
Yeah, and it's neat because in the videos, you show pictures that relate to what you're talking about. So it really does help actually watching the different videos. We'll post today's on our Facebook page as well so that you can get an idea of what Frankie's up to over there. This is terrific, Frankie, and you know it's not going to be long before we have you on talking about the Triple Crown, the Kentucky Derby, and all of that.
That's true. It sneaks up fast on you.
It really does. It really does. Although, you know, Jamie's going to be having a baby about in the middle of the Triple Crown races, actually.
Oh, wow. Well.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know.
Cross your legs. Give me right, Ace Deuce.
Thank you, Frankie. Thank you. That's great.
Sorry about the visual.
We'll see if the baby's name has something to do with the winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. If we had a Triple Crown winner, I'll name it after that. Unless his name is like Mocha Coffee or something.
Yeah. Well, this is great. Good luck with this project. I know it's a lot of work, but it sounds like you have some help along the way. How's the radio show going, by the way?
The radio show's going great. Our numbers are up, though we did take a break for the holidays, and we're regrouping, and we're going to come back bigger and stronger towards the end of January. So looking forward to getting back into that again.
Sounds terrific. Well, thank you, Frankie. We appreciate you being on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn and Jamie. Happy New Year to you guys. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
And to the pony. You got to say Happy New Year to the pony. Hey, Frankie, give him a couple treats for me, but just don't tell anybody, okay?
You got it.
All right. That's a lot of work to put together something every day, as we know. You know, it's but 365 days a year, that's a lot of effort. So we wish him luck with that. And you know, obviously we're going to learn something along the way, too.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great idea. Who knew? And it is a card game. I remember, I think when you play Texas Hold'em, it's when you have an ace and a two.
Okay.
That's gotcha. Why I knew that term, but I was like, how is this a horse term? I have no idea. Well, hey, got some news for you real quick. We've talked, speaking of racing, you know, Havre de Grace, the super mare, and also another mare that did very well this year, Plum Pretty. Mandy Pope is a woman that bought her and bought them both and actually paid $14.2 million in November for Havre de Grace at that sale. Remember she went to the auction?
Yep.
Well, they have now booked her to her future baby daddy. So, you know, they booked her now to Tappet. And Plum Pretty is going to be booked to Distorted Humor, both, of course, Kentucky horses. So you will see, hopefully, very soon, Havre de Grace and a Tappet baby, and then Plum Pretty and Distorted Humor baby.
Okay. Cool. Well, congratulations.
Just news. Just giving you the news.
Well, some other news, too. It's the year end, and that's the time of the year when in the racing world they take a look at the statistics. And I think that you might be surprised at some of these horses that ended up in the top. How do you say, is it Larned? Fort Larned?
I don't know.
L-A-R-N-E-D, winner of this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. Santa Anita Park. Is it Larned?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And three other graded stakes was the leading horse with $3,598,000 for 2012. It's just not a name I expected to see up there. Second was Little Mike, who came in second with earnings of $2.6 million. Ramon Dominguez was the jockey that took the lead this year with his mounts earning $25 million through December 31st. I know. Well, obviously, and they take somewhere between, Frankie told us before, 5 to 10%. So that isn't too bad a year, $2 to $2.5 million this year. That's not too bad. Javier Castellano was second with $22 million in earnings. Trainer Todd Pletcher, who saddled 233 horses to victory from 854 starts in 2012, that's a pretty good batting average. If you were a baseball player, that would be really good. And I don't know much about baseball, but it was probably true. I didn't lie there, right? That was a good, correct statement.
Yeah, that's a good stat. But what it makes me realize is that when you are betting, you are going to be a part of the betting public. I would do so much better if I would just bet Todd Pletcher horses because his odds of winning are way better than my odds have been ever when betting.
That is true. He had earnings this year with his winning horses of $20 million. Let's see here. We also had Hall of Famer Bob Baffert was second in the trainer standings with $15 million. So there's a $5 million difference between the two.
Amazing.
Yeah. Adina Springs topped the breeding standings, breeding horses that led to $12 million in victories. And there's a bunch more statistics, too, but those were the main ones. So congratulations to all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you win a $2 million race, that pretty much puts you up on the top as far as being a leading money winner for a horse. And then, this is very interesting. But, yeah, now I know that I'll just bet Todd Pletcher horses
Todd Pletcher.
And we'll do okay.
You have a third of
25%.
The chance. 25%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Muscle Man was also in the news, too. Did you see that?
No, what happened?
Mucho Macho Man breathed a half mile at Gulfstream Park on December 29th and will be riding, they had a good run, by the way, and is preparing for a start in the $500,000 Florida Sunshine Millions Classic on January the 19th. So Mucho Macho Man will be running on January the 19th. Jennifer, take a look at which track that's at. Where is that? Is that down in Wellington area?
You got to go watch him run.
Gulfstream Park, Jennifer, I see a road trip.
Woo! Ooh, that'd be great, you guys get to go see him. That'd be cool. Well, I think it's really cool that Mucho Macho Man is so famous that when he works and breezes a half mile, it's news. That's really cool.
Exactly.
And he won this race last year, so he's really going to be stared at. And he actually had a second place finish to Fort Larned in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
You know, and apparently he's one of those horses that really likes to work, too. Kathy, his trainer, said that he just is the happiest when he trains. So he's a working horse. He loves it.
Hey, I got one more news story before I move on, and you tell us about all these ridiculous rescue stories or whatever you're going to do. Hey, remember the Vox Populi Award, which is the Secretariat Award? Well, they've announced the winner for the Vox Populi Award.
Oh, really?
And yeah, remember, I mean, there was horses from Frankel to write-in votes for Black Caviar to every single horse that had made headlines in this past year. But the Vox Populi Award winner was Painter for this year. And, of course, Painter, Son of Awesome Again, was second, I believe, in the Belmont, came in second. And they took him to the clinic because they just didn't think he was doing very well. And it turns out that he has an abscess. He had an abscess in his colon. Then he got laminitis from all of it. Almost died like five times. Came back. They must have poured. I mean, his owner was like, we're just going to let him tell us what he wants. The owners were so sweet. We're going to let him, if he wants to keep going, and the owner's name is Ahmed Ziyat, said, we're going to let him tell us. If he wants to keep fighting, we're going to keep fighting. Holy cow, the horse made a comeback and now is now back in training with Bob Baffert.
Wow. And the bus won the award.
And thus won the award. So, I mean, from top racehorse to on death's door to going back into training again, Painter wins the Vox Populi. And you can't really, you know, as much as Frankel was a great story, and is a great story. You know, he's a British horse. He's a British horse. So we got to go. We got to keep it home. Painter.
One thing Painter will never do, though, Jamie, is run as many races as a pacer that just ran his last race. His name is Tattler's Jet. And he finished his career in the winner's circle, but actually didn't finish in the winner's circle. Actually came in second. A 14-year-old gelding. And this pacer has run 461 races
in
his 12-year career. 461 races. He actually, let's see here. Let me see. I'm trying to find his record. It's a long article. He lost his first 30 races, but he didn't give up. And then he came back and won his 31st start, and something finally clicked. He has won 120 races on the Midwest Harness Circuit, where he became a fan favorite at country fairs and small racetracks. He's only four pacers born in the last 40 years have won more races. So he's in the top five of all the pacers that have ever raced.
Pacers, though, probably didn't run 461 times. Holy cow.
Can you believe that? 461 races. Now, apparently in the pacing world, you have to retire them at the age of 14. So he actually ran in a race. He went to New York and actually ran in this race that was for 14-year-olds. And there were that many left that they had enough to run a $5,000 race for 14-year-olds.
Wow.
And he came in second. So congratulations to Tattler's Jet. I hope he gets a nice retirement just eating grass. I hope he's not even a trail horse, that he just gets to retire at this point.
I would like to point out that in all of these races, that hundreds and hundreds of races, he won, 120 races, right?
Yep.
120.
Yep.
He never won more than $3,600 in one race.
No,
so we're,
these are small county fairs.
County Fair Dragon's Plus is a little hard.
He's cute, too. We have a picture of him in the show notes. He is cute. Well, Jennifer put some time in this morning. You know how we like to do rescue stories? Well, Jennifer, I think there's too many to go over. We like to do rescue stories, and you found
–
yeah, why don't you read the headlines to us? Because you found a trend over the holidays, didn't you?
Well, yes. Those of us who event, trail ride – hackabout know that it is nearly impossible to get your average horse to walk through a mud puddle. That's a special treat when you have a horse who's willing to walk through a mud puddle. Well, apparently, when horses are unattended by their humans, they are perfectly willing to get into the water, as evidenced by the headlines. We have, let me get the list here, horse rescued from freezing river on December 14th in the UK, followed by horse rescued unharmed from disused inspection pit full of water on December 21st in the UK, horse rescued from swimming pool December 18th in the UK, horse rescued from floodwater December 25th in the UK, horse rescued from swollen creek in Washington State on December 18th, horse rescued from swimming pool by firefighters again in Washington State, and at last we have a horse who wanted to stay dry who was rescued from a hayloft after he climbed up the stairs for a snack in the USA. What?
Now, let's go back to that story, because we've never had one rescued from a hayloft. He actually climbed the stairs into the hayloft of the barn?
He did. He it was one of those haylofts. It was just a little barn in the somebody's backyard. Had a lovely staircase. Had a landing. So he went up like six steps, had to make a left, and then go up another six steps to the hayloft. And the horse named Crikey apparently was very agile, and he walked up the steps into the hayloft and spent the day snacking on the hay up there. Yeah.
He's no dummy, is he? You know, that other lady claims to have the smartest horse. I think Crikey gets that award.
Crikey is very clever.
No, I would say that Crikey is not very clever because he couldn't navigate his way back down.
He didn't want to. He's got all the hay in the world up there.
You know, all they had to do was take all of the hay out of the hayloft and put it back downstairs. Crikey would have figured it out. Crikey was just not motivated.
Motivated at all. Well, that's a good. Did you notice the trend continues? Where were most of these rescue stories again, Jennifer?
UK.
Actually, this month it's a UK month. Yeah.
Yeah. Either they had a lot of rain, or we just have a lot of horses. They need new fences over there, is what I'm determining. They need to spend some money upgrading the fences. They're so old. The fences are old over there. They just need to be upgraded. Well, that's it for today. Don't forget the really bad ads on Friday. Send your entries in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We'll have a great prize for you. We don't know what that is. We'll announce that later. And also, don't forget Tammy's auction items if you want to bid on something there to help her out for her operation coming up here. It's TammySarantz.com. And we posted links on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning to most of the things that we talked about here this morning. You can also listen to all our past episodes. If you missed some of the episodes over the holidays that we did for you, that we recorded for you, you can catch those on our website at horsesinthemorning.com. And don't forget, if you missed the one on Monday, our Really Bad Ads Best Of, it was very popular, most popular episode yet. So you can go back and take a listen to that as well. Well, Jamie, you take care of yourself. Thanks to our sponsors, Back on Track Products and Equestrian Collections. We'll be back here live on Friday morning, but we will have a show for you tomorrow.
Absolutely. And you guys have a great day. Stay warm. Most of you are sitting there in the snow right now. And spay, neuter, and geld.
Good to talk to you again, Jamie.
Good to talk to you, too.
Nice to get caught
Happy
up.
Happy New Year.
Give joy a pat for it. Go paint an elephant. Elephant neck.
I gotta go pee.